This is East Carolina All-American Brian Packard, and we're talking Pirate Baseball and the Sports Objectives, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome in to a very special edition. I guess you would call this extra innings as we're into now Sunday morning. With us right now, going back to Wilson, North Carolina, a short distance away from Greenville, driving it, keeping it between the lines, producing, co-hosting with me, and another great guy. We'll give him props in just a second. At first, Bubba Rosenbaum, how are you?
Doing great. I could not be any better, Dave. What a night at Clark LeClair Stadium. 5,020 in attendance and just an absolutely raucous atmosphere at Clark LeClair as Coach Godwin gave Pirate Nation all the credit there in his the beginning of his post-game remarks. And we'll put it up on the screen for you. What a night. If the fans don't show up and aren't energetic, and we have no shot at winning that game. Thank you, fans, from Cliff Godwin. And wholeheartedly agree, Pirate Nation was absolutely terrific. And it started, you know, 15, 20 minutes, even maybe a half an hour before the game. Just a very electric atmosphere.
No question about it. A guy that knows about, speaking of electric atmospheres, a guy that was out in the jungle with a cannon, Sutton Young. What's up, dude?
How are you? Great night to be a Pirate.
Hey, every night is great, but it's even every night's great to be a Pirate, but even better tonight. I'll tell you what, give a shout out to Josh O'Neill. Let's go, Pirates. I tell you, Chuck, is that Salas? Help me out there, Bubba. I know that he's a loyal viewer. Appreciate him. Appreciate you, Chuck, and Josh so much. I know that's late, but guys, I was telling you as soon as the game was over, before we departed, knowing we were going to do the show, I'm the kind of guy, I don't know if you guys are, I'm on adrenaline right now. I was so into that game. There was no way in the world we're going to lose that game. And then everybody says, right, Dave. But the electricity in that game all throughout, but especially, I think you made a great point, Sutton. I'm going to pitch it at you on this, and then we'll come back to Bubba, is literally 5-2, seventh inning. And you made a great point. It was a seven-inning stretch there. And the Pirates come out and took care of business in the seventh and eighth.
Yeah, I mean, it. Like I told you guys at the end of the game, I mean, baseball is a sport all about momentum. It takes one hit to change the momentum and the outcome of a baseball game. Lane Hoover's hit changed the momentum drastically and, frankly, changed the outcome of the game. So, I mean, it really, baseball is one of those things. It's just you got to wait for that right moment. And once you get that right moment, it changes drastically.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, one of the things I was telling Bubba, I don't know if I mentioned this to you after the game, was that playoff baseball, our buddy, good buddy, I guess he's going to bed, Kyle from McGrange, we're trying to get him on. It's like herding cats with all of us. But the very fact of playoff baseball is like any other postseason deal, run, survive, and advance. The Pirates did it yesterday, Norfolk State. Happy to be here. They did what they had to do to make it close, to make, you know, keep it within reach, if you will. DeLoach, unbelievable. Today, Pirates won yesterday. We won today. And, guys, I mean, literally right now, I hate to use the term because it's overused, but we're in the driver's seat. So, Coach would say right now, if we play ECU baseball, if we play ECU baseball tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, it doesn't matter who the opponent is, we're going to win. We're the best team in the regional. We have the most talent. Now, if we don't show up and we don't hit and our pitching is suspect, then, of course, that'll give them a good chance. But I really believe at the end of the day, I really believe at the end of the night, tomorrow night, we're going to be celebrating. I just think with that crowd tonight was unbelievable. I know I was one of the 5,000 like you guys. But, I mean, Chuck is asking, by the way, who do we want to play? Well, I'll tell you this. What does the barber say, Sutton? Do you know?
It's hard because I look at the two teams, and I mean, I've seen both of these teams play twice already. So I'm looking back at the Charlotte, Maryland game, a very offensive showdown, 13-10. I mean, Charlotte's got hitters. They've got hitters. Yes. But what Maryland did Well, yesterday now, what they did in Norfolk State, I don't care that they're Norfolk State. I don't care at all. You put 16 runs and hit 7 home runs against a team. I mean, I honestly don't know who I'd rather pitch. I mean, if I'm going to make a prediction, I personally think that we'll face Maryland because I think Charlotte's pitching is not really to the level of where it needs to be to win. But I personally think that with Maryland's high power offense right now, I'd rather face Charlotte.
Well, here's the thing. Well, one thing I will say to you, my friend, is we've beat Charlotte now 4 times. That would mean that you'd have to beat Charlotte 5 times. The one thing I will say about Charlotte is I think Bubba had Coach Woodard on in preseason, and I think their pitching is not, and he's an outstanding coach, was an outstanding pitcher at North Carolina. Their pitching is not where he wants it to be. I think that's a safe bet. That's not being critical of him. And the reason I bring that up is the fact, if you think about it, guys, I mean, and Coach Godwin talked about it in the post-game show, the post-game press conference, I should say, is the very fact they had a great game plan, and the players, those pitchers executed it, especially the starter. But, you know, what I was going to say is, basically, if it's Maryland, if it's Charlotte, I don't know. I mean, Coach knows who the matchups are, and people have been asking who. We have a lot of guys joining us. Thanks, William and Rick Gilmore. And William Grant saying, what an atmosphere. The fans willed us to victory, no doubt. Appreciate you, William. And hey, I don't know about you guys, but it's going to probably be 3 a.m., 4 a.m. before I can get to bed. Hopefully I can get to bed sooner. But, yeah, Josh O'Neill chiming in. But we're having so many people. Thank you, Bubba, for your awesome job producing, by the way. I don't say that enough behind the scenes. But Josh O'Neill says, we play Maryland. I'd love to see Cooch start. We know he's capable. You know, guys, that's one thing I was going to bring up tomorrow. People talk about Gavin. Look, Gavin didn't have – Coach talked about it. We all can agree he didn't have his best start, probably his worst performance of his whole entire season. However, the guy still got you to the – pretty much early in the seventh inning. He still got you there. He gives up a home run, but if you think about it, he still kept it within reach. It wasn't like it was 7 runs in the third or, you know, some crazy – you know, where he's getting really rocked. He still kept it. As Coach said, they were not dead, 5-2, you know? So even with his – my point is, even with his worst performance, it still was a good performance enough to keep us in the game. And another thing, and then Bubba, I'll pitch to you, I'm sorry, I was going to mention, is the fact that I'm really happy with the fact that we haven't used a lot of pitching compared to what I thought we would by this point. What about you, Bubba?
Yeah, as far as Gavin's start, you know, Gavin – wasn't as sharp early as he would have liked to have been, not by any means. But at the same time, like you said, he gave us a chance, worked 6-plus innings. And, you know, when you take a look at it, I think he threw strikes about 65 to 70% of the time. And, you know, really he made Charlotte earn what they got for the most part. He still struck out 9 guys. He walked one and then hit one. So he didn't have a ton of free passes. It's not like Charlotte got their 4 spot in the third inning because he was buck wild. Not at all. And Charlotte, they barreled up some balls, you know, hit some balls hard the other way. And like Coach Godwin said post game, that's a tremendous offense that Robert Woodard, and that staff have at Charlotte. Give the 49ers all the credit in the world. And on the pitching side of things, Trey Starnes, that young man, 23 appearances entering tonight, 4 starts. He had only thrown 22 innings in those 23 appearances. Tonight he goes 6-plus, and what a gutsy effort. So tip of the hat to Trey Starnes. And he really had us off balance for much of the game. And there toward the end, we're able to get to him a bit before they brought in McGowan, their stud and their Friday night guy, 95 with a very good slider and a very good changeup. And, you know, had some excellent bats against – had some ex-bats against McGowan
Yeah, I really think of Zach Agnos and then also Bryson Wohl. I think Wohl had a 7-pitch at bat that resulted in a walk, and then Agnos followed up Amack's walk with a walk of his own, and he saw, I think, 8 pitches, fouled off at least 2, maybe 3 pitches with 2 strikes. And we haven't forgotten about it, but, you know, what about that relief performance? I totally agree with let's see, who was it that chimed in saying, scrolling back through the comments. The MVP, in my opinion, as many things as there were to point to, like the catch by Worrell, some of those at-bats that we've already mentioned, Lane Hoover, Matt Bridges, the sixth-year senior, getting it done, 2 1/3, gave us a chance to make it back. Congratulations to Bridgie on just an excellent effort.
No question about it. And, you know, we've got so many. Thank you so much, by the way. I want to give a shout out to our fans here for Pirate Nation who are chiming in. Sutton, I mean, we're at 12:22 Eastern. We're early Sunday morning now, but you and I both, I mean, it was such a great feeling. I was really happy to see so many people. I want to give a shout out to all the Pirate fans who came early and were tailgating. You saw that as I did walking around. It was great to see fans back. And I'll say this, and I'm going to make this one point, and it's a great night, but a little tweak as a fan, and I was upset at first, as I told you, that I had to wait in a long line there in the middle of the game for the concession stand, and then I was like, second thought, I'm happy that I'm waiting in line. However, there was one thing that was missing, and you know that I'm a huge Pirate. We need TVs at the concession stand. And have our good friend Corey Glore, play-by-play voice, have speakers right there. And notice I'm not being critical of the administration. I just wanted to add that there's little touches like that. And, you know, I know we didn't have fans, obviously, this year until now. But hopefully the next season on 22 and beyond, let's have some TVs put up there because, you know what, we don't have to worry about COVID, hopefully, for next year and beyond. We're going to have time. Many times we're going to thank God we're going to have to wait in line because that means that we have a real fan base, a tremendous fan base. I can't say enough good about the fan base. I mean, that place was electric. It had a great feeling. Didn't you think we were walking around? We got there about 2 o'clock. From 2 o'clock on, a lot of great Pirate fans there. And another point I wanted to make to you before, not even game related, think about the economy. If there's a guy, a happy guy right now, it's the mayor of Greenville, former pitcher, PJ Conley. How many, there's no rooms available because trust me, I was trying to help Bubba find a room yesterday. You can forget about that. You had graduations for high school. You had the president, Trump, speaking today, the North Carolina State Republican. I'm not talking politics, don't worry. I'm just saying all the stuff that's going on in Greenville. You have a tremendous atmosphere at Clark LeClaire. I mean, guys, and then, let's go back to the game. Richard Allis' book says clutch hitting by Brandy. They call it, we found out tonight, I didn't know this, that he's called Bubba Shaq, right? You and, I know you and Sutton heard that. He's called Shaq because of his cleats.
Yeah, Coach Godwin said that in the post game regarding Shaq. And where that stemmed from was back in fall practice. Coach Godwin said that the high top cleats that Joey Barini had were the biggest on the team, and he was dragging those high tops around the infield, so that's where he earned the nickname Shaq.
There you go. So that's funny to me. That's why I was laughing earlier, folks. It was not at Bubba or Sutton. It was the comment there about William Grant I saw come in. Haven't experienced an atmosphere like that since the 2009 regional. I swear I saw babies thrown in the air. Don't get Pitt County DSS involved. Please don't, folks. But that's hilarious. Can you imagine if you're a kid and your dad could tell you that you were at that game and I threw you up in the air?
Oh, my.
Great stuff. We love you, Bubba Grant. You're one of the best. I'm telling you, we have the best fan base. I know I'm part of it, and it sounds like a homer. I am a homer. I don't care what people think. I'll put our atmosphere. Hey, guys, for all the people that love the SEC, how about Florida today? You know, we should have gotten a national seed. I know that, you know, looking back, we were not playing well at the time, but we played. You were talking about they were not earlier. We were not playing our best. I'll tell you what, Sutton, the last 2 days, we played like a national seed. I know we didn't get the national seed. I know what the timing is, everything. We didn't play our best right there at the end, and we, I know at the time we didn't deserve it. However, maybe that's a blessing in disguise. Maybe we don't have the pressure. Who knows? But all we have to do now is get a win tomorrow night. People have been asking me who you want. What I was going to tell you earlier, the old joke about what does a barber say? He says next. So if it's Maryland, if it's Charlotte, I'm not being cocky. I really believe that we have a good shot to win. And then the other thing too, guys, is that it comes down to, coach would say, I think another thing is quality at bats, quality. You know, every single at bat has to be quality. Just like you were talking about momentum building, you know, with every single hit, there could be a hit that can change the game. You know, whoever we're playing, let's go ahead and, I would say, knock them out early. But if we have a chance to knock them out early, let's go ahead and do that. The Pirates haven't done that really this year. Here's the opportunity for them to do that at the biggest, talk about the biggest stage at Clark LeClaire. That would be awesome tomorrow night.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and to your point on Flora, I mean, I would not want to be a Flora Gator because, I mean, that is the first postseason play that has been held in their new ballpark. And Florida, I mean, I'm just going to be totally honest here. What an absolute embarrassment by the Gators. I mean, that was just an embarrassment. So, I mean, again, like, I mean, I talk to you guys all the time. Momentum is critical. I mean, you can go from winning a conference title to going 0-2 in the tournament. You could go from 0-2 in the conference tournament to winning a regional. Momentum is key. And if you have the right momentum, you will go places. And if you don't, you're going to be sent home.
No doubt about it. And the great thing about this, we've talked to the Pirate players on that 2019 team. They were out of gas. They had to do everything they could to come out of the regional to win it, you know, out of the loser's bracket, four games. And, you know, it's kind of like having the conference play that we've had with four games in 3 days. They were having to do that even less time. And they just didn't have the gas left when they went to Louisville. Was a great team. I'm not saying they wouldn't have won, but we didn't. That was not us. We just didn't have anything left in the tank. No excuses. But by the way, we have here from Chuck. He says they have TVs inside. Menji's concessions at EC have always been a mess. Need to hire a professional canteen company. Chuck, you know, I'll leave that to the folks at ECU. But here's another one. He said, time to start rumors. If we win a regional and supers, does Cliff leave for LSU? We were talking in the jungle today. There was folks that were saying, I don't know if this is true, but the Florida coach, that LSU is going to go after him. I don't know if that's the case, but his name escapes me. Forgive me because I'm really tired at the moment. I am speaking of being gassed and on fumes. That would be me. I'll speak for myself and not Sutton. Sutton, as always, you're like, you're ready to go every second, but probably in 48 years old at midnight on a Sunday. But it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. And today, I guess, technically, depending on where you live. Hey, Sutton, as far as the jungle atmosphere, how was it for the fans? Did you hear people comment about what it was like being in the jungle, for some of them for the very first time this year?
I mean, you could just see the electricity. I mean, there were so many people who I recognized who I hadn't seen in the jungle this year. There were plenty of people who I've recognized who I saw. I think the consensus was, I wouldn't really say as far as what people thought. Everyone was just in tune to the game. Everyone was there. There were people who were standing on that wall who did not move at all. They were locked in. They were tuned in. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I didn't really need to ask anybody about, I mean, hey, how was it? I mean, you could just tell that it was just absolutely fantastic. And to bring up real quick about Godwin and LSU, this is what I'll say on that since we're there. Godwin is, I mean, obviously ECU alum. His mother is still living in the area. His dad, obviously, is still in the area. I'm just going to be totally honest here. I don't see Cliff going anywhere. He was offered Mississippi State, Alabama. I don't think he's going anywhere.
And if it were me personally, I'll say my personal opinion, not necessarily this show. If it were me, I would give him a contract for life. I know people think that's but if you look at to me, he checks all the boxes. He's not going to do anything wrong with the NCAA. The grade point average, the GPA is always, I mean, it would take me years to have the GPA that they have there. Mine was so terrible at ECU. It was an honor just to graduate. So you have that. You have the community service. My son, who's 8 years old, he's a class of 31. He wants to play in a decade for Coach Godwin. You know, he's doing very well at his level at Farm League. He's got a long way to go. But it's like that. There's kids now that are Eastern North Carolina. I'm not saying he's Division One. I'm just saying there's a lot of kids now that are seeing the. You want to play for Coach Godwin? Like I tell them, you're going to have straight A's in the classroom. You're going to have to be a good citizen. I'm explaining to them what it would take. You know, like I don't know if he'll ever be Division One. Who knows? But at the same thing, you've got to check certain boxes, or you're not playing for Cliff Godwin. I personally, again, give him a lifetime contract. You know, and then if things are going to have a way of working out, if he doesn't want to be here anymore or whatever, it'll all work out. But I seriously believe, like you say, anything's possible. But he's got it. And I'll say this. He's got it made here. You have a SEC light atmosphere. You hear that all the time. He's big time. Yes. But he's also big time for the Pirates. Anything's possible. But also Richard Allsbrook, a good friend of ours on the show, he says Vanderbilt beat Georgia Tech 4-3. We need Georgia Tech to come back and win two from Vandy. We have that. And how about Rick Gilmore? Hey, Rick, we feel your sentiments exactly. Watching a replay of the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, listening to you guys, too excited to sleep. Rick, we're in the same boat. Sutton, I think, could stay up for 3 or 4 days. He's so young. But I can't do that anymore. too many years at ECU, I guess. But it's a great feeling. I think with all of us tonight, I wanted to ask you this. Did you ever feel like, to me, I know this sounds terrible because it's hindsight. We know who won the game. The great thing about this team is there's times in the middle innings, we've said all along the season, where, you know, it's kind of like the fourth, fifth, and sixth inning, like that middle three innings, if you will, that where we don't know if they fall asleep or there's things that happen. But, man, when you get to that second, maybe that last three innings, 7, 8, 9, I was just like, the whole time I was like, they're going to have, and I told the people around me, they can tell you, vouch for me. I said, I'm telling you guys, it only takes one inning that will really, like we talked about, it's only going to take one inning to flip this game around. And lo and behold, the seventh inning, and you nailed it. I mean, Gavin comes out. Another thing that, by the way, guys, that potentially could be the last time Gavin ever pitches at Clark LeClair. When he was walking off the field, I just got goosebumps thinking, oh, my God, that might be the last time that somebody that has meant so much to the program. And there's other guys that we could, you know, the relief pitchers like Cole Moore and Bridgie. Tomorrow night could be the last time they ever pitch for the Pirates in front of a home crowd. So just keep that in mind. We need this. Another thing I thought about, and I'll pitch it back to Bubba. Bubba's back with us, is the very fact of let's soak it up. Let's enjoy this moment, because for some of these players that have been here since, like Bridgie and Colmore, they've been here since good old Cam, since 2016. So we're not going to have them, unfortunately. Like I've joked about even today, I wish we could have them for 6 more years. But yeah, Chuck says there'll be a million. Gavin's gonna be a millionaire in about a month. I think it's in July. That's right. They've moved the draft back to July this year, for sure. But Bubba's gonna be behind the scene producing. By the way, let me get that off. Hang on 1 second. Let me get that off the screen. It sometimes technology is great and it does things for it, but. Keep your comments coming. We'll be on for just a little bit longer. I know Sutton. What are your thoughts on certainly tomorrow night? I know the Pirates are. We know they're going to be playing at 6 o'clock. We know that. In one respect, I know they're going to be ready. They're certainly going to be ready tomorrow night. They're well coached. They know there's going to be a great game plan. It simply comes down to one word for me. It's down to execution. If the defense is strong without having any mental errors, like, I mean, how about the one thing that was crazy? And we're talking about, since we're talking about Farm League, somebody even said, that's like Farm League, one of the guys with me tonight. You have Connor Norby, who that ridiculous publication says he's second team. Anyway, I thought it was ridiculous for the American. But anyway, you have Connor Norby lays down a bunt. They overthrow it. He ends up getting on third base. You know, it's like three bags off of a bunt. You know, it's things like that that if you go back and rewatch the game, things like that. How about I know we had somebody comment earlier. How about the Bryson, the Worrell? How about that grab he out in center field? It's things like my parents taught me. It's the little things. Those little things start adding up, and great players make great big plays. We need those big plays to win the game, and on offense and defensive side of the ball, if you will, and the field and the bats behind. I mean, the one thing that was driving me crazy as it always does. You might be an instant replay guy. You know, be careful what you wish for. I'm one of those guys that wanted the replay, but the replays took forever. And for the goodness of the game, for the good of the game, we've got to have the game. It can't be taking that long to make decisions on something. And most of the time, I'll say one more thing about that because it was such a beautiful night. I don't want to mess it up by being negative, Nelly. But how many times have you seen it where the calls are overturned? Most of the time in any sport, across the board, college or pro, it's going to be where they don't have enough evidence to overturn it anyway. So they come back and they make whatever call, the call pretty much stands. So we've wasted all that time for something that should have been, if it's a judgment call and they miss it, they miss it. I mean, people may disagree with me on that, but I've had to really eat my words on how much I wanted instant replay and then seeing how it really, in other words, it really hasn't made a difference that I thought it would. That's my opinion.
No, I mean, I agree with that completely. I mean, from the times that we did replay over with ESPN Plus and when I was doing some of the graphics, I think that it was overturned maybe one time of the 15, 20 times we did it. I mean, it's a safety net for coaches that they can have, but I mean, either way, it's not, I don't think it's that beneficial because most of them are the same.
I'll tell you what is beneficial, Sutton, is to have Kyle from LaGrange Barber. Better late than ever. How are you, buddy? Welcome into Talking Pirate Baseball early Sunday morning. We get a big victory. I know you're partying in LaGrange, right? And Jason.
David Richmond, I'm tore up from the floor up. Let me tell you something. It's been a fun night. I got one of my best friends down from Illinois. I haven't seen her in 16 years. Her and her family are here. So I couldn't make it out to the games. But in the midst of hanging out and catching up and having a few pirate beverages and such, I had the game on in the background. And then, you know, socializing with everybody. You know, you got seven people here. But when it came to those last three innings, once the seventh inning rolled around, I was locked in and ready. I was done socializing. So I was glad I had it on in the background. And then when it seventh, eighth, ninth, we're just electric. Hats off to the crowd, man. Good God.
How loud was it on TV, by the way, Kyle? I wanted to ask you that.
It was great. It was, you know, I didn't have the volume up, but so loud because, like I said, I had a crowd here. But the volume I did have it at, you could just tell the crowd was into every bit of it. The reaction, you know, when the Pirates put the game away at the end, just the reaction from the crowd. It was like we won the regional tonight. Now, that's the whole thing. That you know, when we did this in UVA and it felt like we won the regional, we carried that momentum over and took care of the William & Mary the next day. I hope we do the same, because what you don't want now is a letdown tomorrow, because we didn't win anything tonight. And it felt like we did, but we didn't. And that's the thing. Hopefully they'll have the same reaction that the 2016 team did and come out and take care of Maryland or Charlotte tomorrow, and we don't have to do two games.
Guys, let's get Bubba Grant's comment in here if we can. Let's see. There we go. He says, speaking of replays, what's up with the ump who made the call reviewing his own play? That was not the case during the regular season. You know, I don't know. I know the guys here on the show give me a hard time because I am probably the hardest of anybody on umpires. But, you know, that, like I was telling them, Kyle, right before you joined in, I don't know if you heard it.
Yeah, I heard about the replay. I didn't even, like I said, I was not fully tuned in until the end. When did the replay happen? What inning?
Oh, there was, that's the point. There was a whole bunch of replays, and
okay, well, you got to put a cap on them, particularly in baseball.
There's too many tonight. It's way too many.
How many were there?
At least three.
At least. They took too long. I mean, not only were they replays, but they took way too long.
Yeah, you got to put a time limit on them, and I think you should probably put a number on it. How about we just have coaches' challenges? How about we don't replay anything and we do it like the NFL, and the coaches are given two challenges a game, and that means we'll never have any more than four replays a game.
And here's another thing. I used to not be into it, but I'm like, can you please have the pitchers?
Yeah, let's do coaches' challenges only. To me, that solves the problem. And you get two of them a game. What do y'all think?
It sounds good to me. I will definitely – there are certain ones that – there are certain calls that –
Well, you get two of them a game, and then if the call gets overruled, then you get to keep it. You know, just like in the NFL. I think that's the system to go with, and let's do it.
I like that. I do. The only thing I would add to it, though, is I do think that all scoring plays should be reviewed. That would be the only other thing I would add to it.
I
would agree with that. The only reason I would say, well, just leave it up to your coach's challenges is because if you're coaching, you challenge that scoring play and it was overruled, then you get to keep your challenge. So it's like any, you see what I'm saying? But then if the coach is out of challenges later in the game and there's a questionable scoring play. So yeah, I could get down with that. As long as it's not actual long reviews, as long as
that's it was it, it. And here's the other thing is that you have, it's obvious, a great, great coaching job by Robert Wetter. You stall the game as much as you can. You take your sweet time. You tell your pitcher, I mean, the pitcher tonight, my God, I hate the idea of a pitch clock, but you know, my God, we lost probably 30, 45 minutes of our life tonight, at least. Between all that mess, between the replays, between the – I mean, how much time it took between pitches.
Well, the replay is one thing. Taking time between pitches is a psychological move, part of baseball.
I know, but my God, it like literally
– Well, that, you know, I think it's an umpire discretion. Hey, you got to speed the game up. Stalling, you know, you can warn a guy. But, I mean, I'm not going to – granted, I will admit again, I had it on in the background because of the situation to the last couple innings. But you hate to get into that area of things that are part of the game. And to me, stalling, you know, like throwing the first base over and over, sometimes that's nothing more than a tactic to mess with the batter. You know, so what are you going to say? You can only throw over to first base four times?
How about the great call that it was obviously Cliff Godwin made where he acted like he was going to bunt. So all the focus became on the batter bunting, and then it was a double steal where you have second, third, stuff like that. There's a lot of little things in the game that really helped us out tonight that, you know, hey.
How about my boy Matt Bridges who's probably my favorite Pirate because I make fun of him because it seems like he's been there since Keith LeClair there in the ninth, just striking those two guys out like a bulldog.
Pitcher of the week. Well, PGX pitcher of the week. Well, hey,
Bridges. We got to wait.
Yeah. Well, let's say that he's definitely in bubble. Let's say for our good friend, Kaz, he's definitely in the contention right now. About the play, who would you go with? Sutton, Bubba. Well, Kyle, actually, if Bubba's producing only right now at the moment, being the time it is. Hey, who would you guys go with right now? You've seen two games of a regional. Who would your PGX player of the week?
I can't comment enough on tonight's game to say. But who would you go with, Sutton?
That is really hard. I mean, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, I would go Matt Bridges because he has pitched.
Player of the week, player, not pitcher. We're going player of the week now, not pitcher. Anybody besides a pitcher?
It's a toss up. I mean,
right now, I would say yesterday, I would lean towards Francisco has a huge. I mean, if he doesn't have the home run, we don't win yesterday.
Yeah, Francisco. So
Frisco was definitely yesterday, but then that's what makes this team so dangerous is that Francisco doesn't have the game that we would all. I mean, I'm sure he would like.
What happened there? All right, in the scoring play, we went, was it a 3-run homer? I don't even know. That's around the part where I really got locked in was right after the homer.
No, we didn't have
a homer. We went up by 3. 7-4. What happened?
It was a base hit by Hoover.
That's right. Base hit by Hoover. I did see it. I saw it. I saw it. I'm sorry. My brain is, like I said, I was a little bit of drinking tonight.
Hoover would be my MVP for tonight, no question.
And thank you. Thank you, Bubba Rosenbaum. How about Breeny tonight with that big pinch hit RBI, a single to left field? That was, I mean, that guy has ice in his veins. That guy is prime time. And Coach talked about it, says, you know, he doesn't play very well in practice, but you put him in big time game situations. And he delivers, and boy, he delivered. That was huge tonight as well. Thank you, Bubba, for
how many Charlotte fans were in the stadium? Then I guess
I was joking. I said 20, but it was like a one sec. The far right section that would be in right field near the bullpen for the away team.
Yeah,
they had maybe one little section there, but I thought they were. I really thought they would have. I'll be honest, being from Charlotte, you know, like not from Charlotte, but if you're Charlotte, it's not that far away.
Well, I don't know. More. You look, Charlotte's growing. I don't know how East Carolina has a fan base that cares about athletics and has been really involved in the university. I think Charlotte's been more of a commuter school, and it's obviously been a city school. You know, they have some tradition in basketball in the old Metro League and all that, but I think in football, you know, just starting a football program, that's really started their interest in athletics. In baseball, obviously you have some baseball fans, but they don't have the tradition in baseball that East Carolina or Bubba, all the schools do.
Bubba's correcting me. He says, by the way, Kyle, sorry. He said they had a decent showing, more than you realize. So, Bubba, I'll go with you. Hey, the most important part is there was a lot of purple and gold tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pirate Nation. Okay, they only had two. I'm sorry. All right, Bubba. Bubba's saying they only – Bubba Grant saying allotment was 200, so – I thought they would. That's crazy. So I thought they had more than that. So
well, they may have. That was their allotment. Maybe, you know, and not everybody bought from the school. Some people right. would have just bought through ECU or went with family or friends. So yep. It's like I said, Charlotte's baseball fandom is growing, and it'll continue to grow as they're successful. Conference USA is a good league. So what they're going to find out is, and the reason they'll, as long as they keep that dude there as head coach. Conference USA is typically a 2-3 bid league this year. It's always a multi bid league. So Charlotte's gonna have a chance to do this every year as long as they have a good coach and he recruits well, because they're in a good league, they're in a good conference, they're in a good state for recruiting. So Charlotte could build a good baseball program in a hurry.
No question. You got a great coach, and I know that they did a rebuild. They basically did like a Joe Dooley, and they had how many? I can't remember. But Bubba Rosenbaum, if you can help me, but it's over what, guys, over 20 new players this year. It was a lot. I don't know. I can't remember.
Is Bubba on the road? Is he producing the way? Where's Bubba at? Where's Bubba coming tonight?
He's actually with a friend's house, a great pirate in Wilson.
Oh, Bubba, so you should have came over here, man. You should have, look, after the game, we still have libations. You could have came over. We have pizza. We got Chick-fil-A. We got meatballs. And lots of libations. You should have came over here. I offered. He didn't even respond. Dave responded. He made some kind of weird comment, huh?
I made a weird comment? Anyway,
yeah,
okay.
You made a weird comment. I invited you over.
Yeah, I was planning on coming here to my house. That's way out of my way. Hey, no offense to you. I'm tired.
I won't invite you anymore.
Well, you don't. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. If you don't,
you should.
I'm messing with you. Hey, it's fun to have friends you can pick on tonight.
A better time couldn't have been had. I promise. It's good, you would have fun.
Well, I'm
after
sure
a baseball have fun. Game. I mean, you know, come on, man.
No doubt. I'm not questioning. I would definitely have fun because everything, the beverage after the game tasted better tonight than than it normally would. And especially the way we did, I was talking to a buddy of mine who was with me at ECU when we went to the games. I sound like an old timer, but Harrington Field. And I was just telling him, I said, man, you remember when we were at ECU, Harrington Field? I remember, you know, Kyle's heard it, and Bubba heard me tell the story a million times. And Kyle was a teenager at the time when he used to call in back in the day in the 90s. But when the athletic director at the time, Mike Hamrick, has a show on that time, 98.3 WCZI, the Talk FM, we had coaches shows and we had Wednesday nights was always that. And I remember fan after fan calling in on that AD show every week and asking, when are you going to put lights in, fix the lights at Harrington Field? I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how far we've come. And I was telling my buddy tonight with me, I said, this is like a minor league park. It's like a minor league park.
I'm going to disagree with you, dude. I'm going to disagree with you in a positive way. There is no minor league baseball that has that kind of atmosphere.
You don't get that kind of emotion
and atmosphere from minor league baseball. But the quality of the park, oh, yeah, it's minor league baseball quality park.
Not the crowd. Yeah, I'm not talking about the crowd reaction. I'm just talking about the look of it.
Oh, yeah.
The feel of it, the concession stands, everything. With the only thing, and by the way, Kyle, I was just saying you missed it, but earlier in the show, I was talking about how I'm standing in a long line. I was upset at first. Then I was happy because we have fans, but then I looked and there's no TVs. There's no Corey Glore, like a speaker where you could hear the game.
You know what? And that's something that I've been saying at football games for a while, that, you know, I want them in the bathrooms at the football games.
Absolutely.
But you definitely need at the very least, a speaker. That could be solved really easy. Malcolm, this isn't so much on Malcolm. John Gilbert, if you can't put a TV up in the concourse area, let's at least get a speaker out there so the fans can hear Corey's call of the game. That shouldn't take very much, and it shouldn't take very much money to do. Really, even a monitor, one good size monitor, wouldn't take very much money.
No, not at all. I mean, you go to Walmart and get a TV very cheap. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but I mean, I know we don't have a lot of money.
You could do it that way. I mean, you really could. You could just put a TV up that way out there, and then have a smart TV hooked to your Wi-Fi. Boom, there you go. You really could do it that way. It would be nicer to have an actual feed coming from the stadium, but you could just do the ESPN 3 broadcast. Or ESPN Plus broadcast, and some ESPN 3 right now.
Yeah, Bubba Grant says club level has it in football. TVs.
Right, but it should be everywhere in football. Like I said, there ought to be a monitor in the bathroom. I mean, this is not very hard to do. And then the little things like that, it's kind of stuff I don't understand. The reason we don't do it, and I know money is tight, and but little things like that.
The guys, look, let me tell you something. The guys on this podcast right now, we could chip in and buy the TV, have an awesome TV. I'm not trying to like bust on, but
we can get on. ONN is the one.
Well, you know what? If that's what we have to do for a couple years because the budget's tight, you know, that we can. You know, do that. Another thing I'll say, I'm going to say this too. I said about the contract for life for Godwin. Let's give Godwin what he wants. He wants right now. He wants the weight room for his players. He wants the former players. He wants the locker room. There's a few things the guy wants.
Well, they're going to have the multi-use weight room. Don't forget that's coming. Where now that the weight room there at the Murphy Center can pretty much be dedicated to football. And then they're going to have the multi-purpose weight room for other sports to kind of use. Who donated that money? Was it the boat people? Was that from them also?
Grady White Boats. I have to double check on that. But
somebody in the comments, who donated the money for the?
Thank you. Yeah.
Multi-purpose training facility that's coming.
But anyway, I know Sutton, you made a great point earlier that I said it was a football school. You said, hey, Dave, it's a baseball school. If you look at the consistency of the program, this program is going to win a national championship. I don't know when they're going to do it, but they will do it. No doubt. People think that I'm not anti-football. I'm just saying it's
Look, we're a football school, but we're a football school with a hell of a baseball program. And let's be real. You still 5,000 versus 50,000, but in terms of success, baseball's unprecedented. There's not another program at the school, that has the success baseball has, and can legitimately compete for a national championship. And people care about the baseball program. A lot of schools don't have the support for baseball that we do here, and our fans love it. In terms of Cliff, the LSU, if they come after him, LSU's got a lot to offer. We cannot match LSU's money.
Why not?
If we get in a bidding war with LSU, we're not going to win it. They got more money than we do.
I understand, but my thing is that what I was going to get at as far as money-wise.
Well,
Look at it right now. If you look at it right now, the guy has potentially – we're on the eve of another super regional. There's three super regionals.
I think what you got to do, Dave, is put forth an effort. And you got to offer him what you can and do what you can do for him and ask him what he wants beyond just cash, like you said, about the weight room, et cetera. Offer him – I don't know how people say lifetime contract. I was under the impression of the USC system, you can only do 5-year contracts at the time. So I don't know if you can do that. But if you can, I'd be willing to give him a long-term contract. Give him job security. That's something he's not going to get at LSU. Yeah. LSU, look, he goes to LSU, he has one bad season, they may fire him.
Right.
We believe in Cliff. We know what Cliff can do. But to me, you make some kind of effort. You don't just sit there, and I'm not saying John Gilbert's doing this, but you don't just sit there if LSU's coming to call and just go, well, Cliff, we've given you all we can. We can't match what LSU's giving you. You better reach out to your Big Whip Pirate Club members and ask them how important it is that Cliff stays on. I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You don't just let him go. But just a straight-up bidding war, we cannot win a straight-up bidding war.
Well, Kyle, I've got good news for you. We were talking earlier this afternoon, and we missed you, by the way, at the game. But what we heard in the jungle is that, and Bubba put this up here for us, Bubba Rosenbaum is the man. Thank you for helping me, Bubba. That the LSU will name Florida head coach Kevin O'Sullivan as our next coach. Their coach is retiring at LSU, so.
Okay, well, then I just.
That's what we're hearing now.
My mouth. Okay, well. Texas A&M's still out there. Well, good. Hey, the best news we could get is we keep on winning and Cliff stays. But, that may explain what's happened with Florida's baseball program the last couple of days.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is atrocious. But so we have one more game, and then obviously we will be able to do our hopefully tomorrow night we'll have something special to talk about. We'll have coverage. Obviously, we want to tell everybody, fans, tomorrow. Thanks to Sutton and Kyle. You got to come out there and have fun with us tomorrow. That'll be awesome. But we're going to have, we'll do like a preview tomorrow at the stadium. We'll do a little something there, a live shot. Thanks to Sutton Young. He's the best. By the way, Kyle, you love the movie. I call him Young Gun because he's getting
Young, Young Gun's one of my favorite movies. Well, Young Guns 2 in particular is one of my favorite movies of all time. Emilio Estevez as Billy the Kid. So Sutton's nickname is Young Gun. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I like, cause he's so young and he's getting it done, man.
And he's got a gun.
I don't know about that part of it, but, by the way, I want to remind everybody, videos from tonight's game are on our YouTube channel. Go there and subscribe. We met a lot of, by the way, Kyle, and Sutton, we met a lot of great people today. I want to give a shout out to.
And let me wait a minute before you do that, Dave. Let me be clear to Pirate Nation. I haven't been there. One of my best friends, who I have not seen in 16 years, from Illinois, is here visiting, and I just got here today. So, her with her husband and kids, who I had never met her husband and kids until now. I hadn't seen her since 2005. So, just to be clear, why I haven't been there. So I hope Pirate Nation understands.
All right. Well, we got it done, and you're at home, and you're going to be home tomorrow night. So the good news is we'll win again. We'll keep this tradition going.
All right. What time do we play? How
6 o'clock.
Six.
Okay. So no chance to get. That's right. Monday is going to be if a game two is needed. Let's hope not.
1 o'clock.
What's your prediction, guys? Charlotte or Maryland?
I'm going. We both, Sutton and I agree on this. So you said we both say Maryland. Yep. Charlotte's pitching is. They have the bats for sure. If there's a slugfest, they may be able to sneak in there, but. Their pitching is probably of the team. Well, there's only obviously three teams left because Norfolk State is out now. But with the teams that are left, I think Charlotte has the least amount of pitching moving forward. That's just I've heard that. That's my gut feeling. And then Sutton said that as well.
Yeah, Maryland's offense right now is just too good. I don't see them slowing down against Charlotte. I mean, I think that I'm not saying that we're not going to be able to contain Maryland's offense, but Charlotte coming off a really, really heartbreaking loss to us tonight, having to play Maryland early. I just don't see the 49ers getting it done.
Yeah, I'm hoping Maryland comes out tomorrow, lays about 15, 16 runs on Charlotte, and you're eventually gonna run out of gas with your offense. So you can't keep those kind of numbers up, from my experience. And hopefully they'll hit themselves out, and then we can find a way to beat them and not have to play them again on Monday. We need to get this thing over with tomorrow and have another regional championship and get ready for, I'm assuming, Vanderbilt won tonight against Georgia Tech.
Close. Yeah, they did. Yeah, it was very close. Sutton, you said it's a 4-3, right?
4-3 final.
Yeah, it was very close. So Georgia Tech can do it. They're going to have to win two tomorrow, right, guys?
Yep.
Well, my memory serves.
And then Monday.
Good luck to the Yellow Jackets. Let's win tomorrow and get ready most likely to go to Nashville.
First of all, we have to win our regional, but for all the Pirate fans that are gloom and doom because we potentially could play, you know, Vandy.
It's a tough stranger matchup.
It is, but stranger things have happened, and they're not, and I will say this, they haven't been playing like the Vandy. I'm not saying they're not, let me be very careful. I'm not saying they are they're not good. I'm not saying that. But the Vandy team with Rocker, was that 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago. Well, they were lights out. They were lights out 2 years ago. They were lights out 2 years ago.
They got the best year.
Go ahead.
They got the best 1-2 punch in America. The Friday and Saturday night guys are the best, the 1-2 in America. But you only got to beat one of them. That's what I keep saying. You only got to beat one of them, because if you beat one of them, then you force a game three on Sunday. So you don't have to beat both of them. If they shut us out Friday, we just need to turn around and win Saturday. It just got to beat one of them. Keep that in mind. That would be, and you don't want to tell the guys not to beat both of them, but that would be my message to Pirate Nation if we win, or to this baseball team if we win tomorrow. Don't get overwhelmed looking at those two guys for Friday and Saturday night. You just got to beat one of them.
Yeah, not only that, but we have. I told that to Sutton. We have quality guys. Gavin will pitch. He's going to pitch very well. Wiz is he's definitely that a great nickname for him. He's definitely a whiz. That, you know, we've got two guys you can definitely count on. And you know what? Stranger things have happened. Who knows? Tyler Smith and Cooch Maynard may be the guys that we've had. We know they can be. You know, they are very talented. We have a lot of.
Well, all you look, first things first, we got to beat either Charlotte or Maryland. But all you got to have is you know, next Friday, that kid could have his worst outing of his career, and we put up 6-7 runs on him, and you know, and Gavin pitches a Gavin game, and we win the game 7-1. It could happen. Not Friday. Yeah. Well, yeah, it would be next Friday. So you never know.
Or Saturday. It could be Saturday, too.
Yeah.
Friday or Saturday.
So you never know. But first things first, we got to win this regional where we're talking about Vanderbilt for no reason.
Yep. Right. Taking care of business. TCB.
Appreciate it. But look, I'm going to say this to Pirate Nation, too. Don't get hung up on just the World Series. That is the goal. The World Series and the National Championship is the ultimate goal. But look, a regional championship is a big deal, and it ain't just ho-hum we won another regional if we take care of business tomorrow. It's a big deal to win a regional.
Think about this, guys. The first time in our history of our program, three straight regionals we're hosting, never happened before. Think about with Coach Godwin, coach now, if he wins tomorrow night, think about this, folks. If he wins tomorrow night, he's going to have a super regional for 16, 19, and for 2021. And we didn't get a chance to have one last year because of COVID. So, I mean, look at that. That's three regionals since 2016.
Matt Bridges. If we win tomorrow. Yeah, we haven't done it yet. We haven't done it.
I know that. I'm just saying, just keep that in mind. I'm just saying for Pirate Nation, when you were talking about soaking it up, I'm not saying that we have. We've got to earn it. We got to go out there. We don't play UT baseball.
If we just go out there. Look, Maryland and Charlotte are totally capable of beating us and forcing a game on Monday. And then it's winner take all. It's a whole new season. It's a one game season. So you don't want to put yourself in that situation. Right now, we have a cushion. Let's not use it. Let's take care of business tomorrow and get the hell out of here.
Not only that, but here's another thing. We had, like I was talking about earlier, Kyle, when we went to Louisville, we were out of gas. This is perfect where we didn't have to. Sure. If we can win tomorrow, we were never in the loser's bracket. We finish up on Sunday night. Think about how cool it would be if they start that regional, a super regional rather, in Vandy, if it's Vandy, and they started on Saturday. That would be beautiful, right? I don't know if they will or not, but that would give us an extra 2 days of rest compared to what we had going to Louisville 2 years ago. 2 years ago, 2 years ago, but things are looking a lot better than they did 2 years ago. We did, just like you said, in 2019, the way that we came back and won that regional was awesome, but we didn't have very much left after that regional. This particular case in 21, where if we take care of business, that would be great. Like Bubba's saying, it would be the third super regional in 5 years. You throw out 2020 because there was not one. There was not a chance for us to do that. I mean, that's incredible. How many programs across America, and we need Bubba or Malcolm Gray, the SID, but how many programs can say they've had three super regionals in 5 years? We haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. We haven't done it yet, but I'm just saying, think about that.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Let's save those moments for when we actually have them, because if not, we were talking about something that never occurred. But it would be a hell of an accomplishment, and we would be in, I would think, rare air with some elite SEC and, you know, maybe some ACC, Pac-12, Big 12 programs. Probably your Ole Miss, your Mississippi State, your Vanderbilts, your Texas, and stuff like that. So let's hope we do it, and let's enjoy tomorrow and tomorrow night. Let's make a Martin. Tomorrow night is the biggest game of the year so far, so let's enjoy that.
Bubba Grant, good night, guys. Love your show. Yeah, we're at 1:10 Eastern almost, and I've never fallen asleep on this show. I think it's over 480 some episodes. Bubba Rosenbaum would say. So I want to get final thoughts before we go, guys, and we'll promote what we've got coming up, and we'll get out of here, and we'll get some shut-eye and get ready for being back at the stadium tomorrow at lunchtime. So who wants to have their final thoughts? Who wants to go first?
Great win tonight. Missed most of it. Fortunately, I got to see the end of it. Hopefully, we take care of business tomorrow and get out of Greenwood Conference Championship in three games the way it should be done.
Yep. Great game tonight. Great win. I mean, a lot of people celebrating. I mean, I was happy about it, but I mean, I'm not celebrating just yet. The real celebration hopefully will be tomorrow. If we have that momentum like I was talking about, get some offense going, have some great pitching, we are going to be regional champions for the third time in the last five tournaments.
And Norman Quick, great Pirates player, says go Pirates. Appreciate you, Norman, for your support of the show over the last couple of years for sure. And I just want to give Kyle credit. I'll say this before we go. Look, you said it best, Kyle, a few days ago. The bottom line, it's not an easy thing to do, but what we need to do is take care of business, win five games here in Omaha tonight. Yep. This is the second step of five steps. So tomorrow night, guys, let's get step number three. Take care of business. We'll move on to the Super Regional, wherever that is. Who knows what can happen? We've still got a whole another day of or two of baseball. We think we know where we're going to be going, but first we got to win here in Clark Eclair. And let's have, this might, another thing, one more final thing. Yeah, thank you, Bubba, for saying that. Pat Clark Eclair again, set the tone, Pirate Nation, be a difference maker. I was going to say thank you. That was perfect for me, and then we'll get out of here. The very fact for me, what I'm going to leave you with, guys, is this might be the last time that we all are going to be together in Clark Eclair for the season. So let's we didn't have very many chances, obviously just a few. It was the perfect timing for the regional to have fans. Let's go out with a bang for sure. We've got some great programming. I know Sutton, Kyle, if you want to join us too from wherever you are at home tomorrow afternoon, we'll post the time, but we're going to do a little bit of a preview show. Then we'll have the obviously the game. After the game, we'll do a quick hit like we did here tonight. And then we'll have most likely, hopefully, we'll have extra innings on Monday. So keep it right here. By the way, folks, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We like our Facebook page, and we'd love for you to follow us on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ. Guys, I appreciate you, Bubba Rosenbaum, for producing and co-hosting. Kyle from LaGrange Barber, go back and party some more. Sutton Young, appreciate you, dude. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the stadium. I hope everybody has a great night. Enjoy this win when we wake up tomorrow. It's brand new, or today. It's a brand new, it'll be a brand new day. We'll get out of here and go to sleep. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.
Go Pirates.
This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate Baseball and the Sports Objective, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.